So last fight was Hope Against Hope.
I was really rooting for Cybronica, but it ended up being a tie for first place between Possum Sauce, which is also a great song, and also Tom Skillman. You know, they both had very good songs and got votes from both of us, too.
Yeah.
The Possum Sauce entry was particularly good.
I thought. I was really pleased he won.
And Cybronica came in third after Paco del Stinko, which is not a bad place to be in, really. I really like that Paco song, and I voted for that one, too.
Yeah, Paco is really expanding his lead on Berkeley Social Scene. This is another fight where there is no Berkeley Social Scene entry.
That's right. He's going to be able to take a summer off.
Or at least take 2 or 3 weeks off.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know. Berkeley could come and do like 10 entries in a row. Like, I mean, in the same week.
Yeah.
Just fire off 10. Yeah. Three hours on a Tuesday, and they've got, you know, 10 songs.
Yeah, Glennie did that once, more or less. So, all right, our listeners might be hearing somebody, a guest to our show, John Benjamin. Now, I mentioned this in a different podcast, but if I remember right, like sometime around 2003 or 2004, I was listening and reviewing songs at what was then GarageBand.com, no relation to the Apple software, and I heard some Frankie Big Face there, and it led me to check out more of his stuff at songfight.org, and that's how I started listening to Songfight music, and lurking on the boards, and occasionally submitting art, and downloading just tons of music. I would download songs and burn compilation CDs for myself, which are probably still around here somewhere, except I don't think I have a CD player anymore. Anyway, I burned myself like a Frankie Big Face Songfight CD, a 1516 puzzle CD, a Hostess Mostess CD, and probably like a dozen other bands. But I had to burn two John Benjamin Band CDs because he had too many great songs to fit onto one. The John Benjamin Band has 52 Songfight entries under that name, plus probably like a dozen or more entries and collaborations under names like Bitter Benjamin, Berkeley Social Scene versus the John Benjamin Band, Dubose Triangle versus the John Benjamin Band, the John Benjamin Band with Patrick Clayton, John Benjamin Big Face, JB, JB and Hugo, JB and Sam, JBB and ADD, JBBSS, JBivious, Obscurity featuring JB, Sparks and JB, and he also submits as Abjure, and I'm sure that I didn't catch everything there. Yeah, there's probably some that I missed, but I counted at least 14 Songfight wins at minimum. Plus, he won round one of Nurein 3. And he's produced a ton of great stuff for the cover fights and the other side fights. He is Songfight royalty and some sort of an administrator, but we'll get into that later. Check out his stuff at johnorama.com. That's johnorama.com. Welcome, John Benjamin.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What did we miss? What other things are you involved in that we didn't say?
Man, I forgot all about that Bitter Benjamin thing. I can't even remember who that was with.
Is
that even me? I don't even know if that was me. I was in the hotel fight, which is the only thing that. So maybe that's me.
I did go through and do like a control F and just assume that every band that had a J or a B in its name was probably you.
I would have to listen to that one just to know if that was me. I was in the hotel fight. That's Bitter Benjamin, the only fight that name is in was Hotel, and that could have been me, but I can't remember. I tend to use a different name when somebody else is involved because it's not just me. And somebody else did write a verse of lyrics for that. The verse or the chorus? I can't remember. My friend Steve gave me a couple of lines for that. So, but yeah, so you caught most of them. I also play in a band in the real world called Menage a Garage.
Yes.
And it's all of my songs. Some of them were written in collaboration with our previous drummer, but most of them are my songs. Some of them are Songfight songs. A couple of them are songs from the old album Fight that I did with Frankie Big Face and Add Music. But yeah, so that's my main real world musical endeavor. Is Menage a Garage, a.k.a. Mag. You can find us at magrocksdc.com.
I'm just looking over the archive to see if you ever submitted anything as Menage a Garage, and I don't see it.
No, we haven't. It tends to take us a long time to work up a song, so it's unlikely that we will be able to get it together to record in the time frame of a song fight. But I have written songs that go on to become songs that we play as Menage a Garage.
Cool. Cool, cool.
And I'm hoping that my entry from this week, Free Flag, will go on to become a song that we play live, because it's pretty hard. I like it.
Hey, we'll get to it. Don't rush us.
I seem to have this memory in the back of my head that you also did a song with MC Frontalot. Am I confusing you with someone else?
I did a bunch of stuff with MC Frontalot, or in his human guise, Damien.
Yep.
Half of Dubose Triangle. Okay. Half of a triangle is still a triangle, right?
Right.
Yeah, I've done a lot of stuff with him and those cats, mostly when they were in San Francisco. One of the primary ones I did with both Mo and Damien of Dubose Triangle was Shark Tornado. We entered the Sunny Again fight. So that's me and Mo and Damien in collaboration. I don't know if you guys have listened to that one, but that one is one of my favorites. We all took on the aspects of a Scottish punk rock band. And so we all had names, and my name is Kenna Fathom. And I can't remember what Moe's name or Damien's names were, but they were similarly ridiculous. But the song that came out of it is pretty awesome.
Cool. We'll have to check that out.
And it just so happens that I entered twice into Sunny Again, once as Shark Tornado, and then once as myself, and Damien wrote the lyrics for the one that I entered just as myself. He sent me these lyrics. I can't remember the order in which it occurred, but he sent me lyrics, and I think I decided, well, I'm going to go with a song, and I'm going to write this song in addition. And then after we had recorded the Shark Tornado song, I recorded Damien's lyrics. But the way that I had to sing for the Shark Tornado song was so difficult for my voice. I got through like two takes of the acoustic song before my voice just completely gave out. And if you listen to it, you'll see why, because it's just like totally... like I've been gargling nails.
And it's only from 16 years ago, so I can't believe that I didn't clock that.
Well, yeah, we've done a bunch of other stuff. I consider Damien a friend. And when I used to live in Atlanta, they stayed at my house when he was on tour. And I've played cello for him on a few things. A couple of his early albums I played cello on, like Goth Girl. You'll hear my cello in the recording there. So, yeah, I have a intertwined history with those San Francisco cats.
Hey, you also did a great collaboration with Glenn Case a few times. I really loved your 2600 song.
Oh, yeah, I love that song. That's great. We wrote that after, I think it was Song Fight Spokane. I stayed in town for another day or two and stayed at Glenn's house. I think I stayed at Glenn's house, if I recall correctly. But anyway, he and Rachel showed me around town, and we had just a great time. And I said, hey, man, let's write a song. And he doesn't usually write that way, but we basically just traded off verses and collaborated. And then the song sat for like 4 years or something like that before we finally picked it up and finished it off. And he put it on one of his albums. But it turned out really cool. And I found this great soft synth that emulates the 2600 music chipset.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the sounds that sound kind of Atari-ish are fairly authentic Atari-ish kind of sounds. So, yeah.
Very cool. You know, that line about him wanting you to play E.T. I thought was hilarious, especially in the context when you realize that he is like the world record holder in that game.
I love that reference as well, because it's actual. It's real. It sounds like it's a joke just because you have the record, like, you know, like two kids are saying you've got the record between us and he's got the, you know, but no, Glenn really actually in real life holds the world record for the Atari 2600 E.T. game, which is considered one of the, if worst. Not the, worst video games in the history of video games.
So cool. Yeah, I was blown away when I actually did a little research on Glenn for this recent Nurein. I was like, oh my god, he is the world record holder in this. I had no idea.
Man, you know how long you have to just sit there and stare at a cathode ray tube? I don't even think it's emulated. I think he actually has a TV or something like that that he plays these things on. You know, he has a Dodgem record, too, I think, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he's quite an accomplished video gamer.
But I always found Dodgem to be almost impossible. I could play it for, like, 2 minutes, and then I would die.
Yuck.
Dating myself. But, yeah, I had all those games.
So you're an administrator of sorts or maybe an administrator, just administrator for Songfight. Is that right? Well, what's your role here?
Okay, so here's the history of it. So at some point, the person who invented it, Narbotic, came up with Songfight. He had songfight.com, and that's where it ran. And after a year or two, he got tired of it. And so he kind of stopped doing it, just kind of died. And then it would be sporadically updated and every once in a while. So we didn't like that because we were fairly obsessed with song fighting. We would stay up all night making these songs, and we were totally and completely and utterly into it. And he just stopped doing it for his own reasons. I've never really talked to him about it. But we picked it up as these fights that we called Meanwhile. And Meanwhile happened mostly on the boards, the message boards, which I think at that time we might have been on the Dumbrella message boards before we moved into our own stuff. And at that time, I don't know what possessed me, but I was like, I'm going to grab some other domains so they don't get squatted, because I love Songfight and I want it to keep going. So I grabbed and registered songfight.org and songfight.net. And after a while, I can't remember what the triggering mechanism was. We just decided that, you know, he's not going to do this anymore. So let's start it back up on songfight.org. And of course, this was like forever ago. It's been on songfight.org multiples of times longer than it was on .com. And so for a while, Spud of Octothorpe and I ran it. And Spud did all the work. And I just took all the credit. So, you know, mix and match, whatever needed to be done, whoever wanted to pick it up is what really happens. And then Spud turned over his part of the work to Lunkhead, who Lunkhead now does all the work. But it all is on a hosting account that is my hosting account. I own the domains. I've, you know, registered the domains. So for a long time, I just referred to myself as Songfight's sugar daddy. So that's basically my role. Is I don't know how other people perceive how it works, but I just think of myself as a little bit of a caretaker. I love the classic attitude that we've always had for Songfight. I loved Spud's attitude towards things in general. It's a pretty conservative attitude toward changes. The thing runs on almost no technology at all, which is very annoying from a maintenance standpoint, as Lunkhead will tell you for sure. But I do like that it doesn't change very much. You know, the focus is on keep writing songs, you fools, and shut up about whether we've got adequate detection of multiple voting. Fuck off. Who gives a shit? You're not winning anything. So don't worry about it so much. I just, you know, at some point we did say, all right, we're going to track IP addresses and we won't let the same IP address vote. But, you know, get a VPN and you can vote 100 times if you want. But, you know, so that's my role in Songfight is I own the domains, it runs on my hosting stuff, and as far as I'm concerned, it will continue to do that until I die.
Well, that's really cool. I think we'd all just assume that Halliburton did all that. So I'm really happy to hear that.
You know, even a sugar daddy needs a sugar daddy. So, that, you know, if we can oppress some third world countries in order to have Songfight, I guess the trade-off is worth it.
Yeah.
You know, JB, I wanted to ask you about the Prayer for Pancakes fight.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
So you were on TV, right?
Yeah. I don't know how it came about, but the old TV show Attack of the Show, which was on G4, invited us to be on an episode and just do a segment on Songfight, you know, like a 2-minute segment. And so they flew me out and put me up, and Spud flew out and we went on the Attack of the Show, and we had a special fight that happened during that segment. They announced it at the beginning of the show, Prayer for Pancakes. And then I went back in the green room and Spud and I wrote a song, and that was the song we wrote. And then also, you know, you'll notice that there's also a fight called Attack of the Show. So we had previously written all of the songs for the Attack of the Show song fight. And then during that episode of Attack of the Show, they played some selections from some of the songs.
Oh, wow. Do you have a copy of that? I went looking, you know, I tried to find archives of Attack of the Show and I found references to it, but I was never able to find the actual video.
Me either. Yeah, no, I think that one's lost to history. I never got a copy of it and I could never find a copy of it online. Maybe one of your listeners could.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know if is there an archive of all of the Attack of the Shows out there? Some really heavy duty Kevin Pereira fan like got all of everything he's ever done.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Like Yeah, it sounds like the sort of thing that we wouldn't be surprised if Fluffy had just hanging around.
I don't know.
Right.
Fluffy
is an archivist for sure.
Also, I just want to gush for a little while. I've been listening to your entry for Bad Dreams like on every iPod playlist I've had for the past 15 years. And also other songs that, you know, like Funny Enough for You. And I'm kind of embarrassed. I just found out that Firebomb, that your Firebomb is the Firebomb that I'd been attributing to 1516 Puzzle, who also did a cover of it. But I was listening to Abominominous's cover, which I was giving 1516 Puzzle credit for having written, but it was you with those amazing lyrics. And I was kind of going back and
I've lost the thread because there are two fights where I traded off. I traded one with 1516 Puzzle, and that was Firebomb. And then I traded with Ad for Funny Enough for You. So it all depends on which songs you're talking about. So the way it worked was I wrote a song and sent it to Ad, and he wrote a song and sent it to me. And then we recorded each other's songs. And then I did the same thing with 1516 Puzzle. I wrote a Firebomb, he wrote a Firebomb, and then we sent each other our demos, and we recorded those, and that's what we submitted as ourselves.
Oh, cool.
So I have three versions, fucking with you. I guess so. So I have three versions of it, which means that I have your version of Firebomb, which I'm guessing now was actually, written by 1516 Puzzle. I have 1516 Puzzle's version of it, which might be a demo version that he sent to you now that I'm thinking about it. And then I also have Abominominous's version, which is also very, okay. I'm rescinding my credit. Oh yeah, forget about it.
Yours is the one that I actually hate.
that's a weak link in this whole thing. No. But yeah. Okay. So, well, in that case, I'm going to steer people towards other songs of yours, but just to kind of show off your range. I mean, songs like Firecrackers and 120 Miles Per Hour and Birds of Our Own, you know, it's just a whole bunch of great music, but it's also so very different from everything else. It's like Birds of Our Own has like a bit of a Laurie Anderson feel. Firecrackers is maybe Negative Land-ish, but not really. 120 Miles Per Hour, an amazing a cappella performance. And then stuff like Deep Subreddit, which we had a lot of conversations about back when we first started out, but I thought was amazing and also terribly different and incestuous.
I can't even remember Deep Subreddit.
It was Abjure.
Okay.
Yellow
Lasting.
That's why I don't
remember it. I tend to black out on the Abjure songs because they're usually nothing that I would like to own up to.
Oh. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
I'm proud of them. They're just usually really just wrong.
Okay. It totally triggered Chumpy, so yeah.
I was like, who is this Abjure guy, like, copying MC Frontalot? What is up with that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I looked up the lyrics just now. Okay, I got it. I remember this one. I do.
I think you were trolling us a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. But I think there were some people who got it and some people who got annoyed. But
they did? It's just terrible. All right, this ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't no safe zone in the middle of Frisco. Wow. Hey, these are pretty good lyrics. I don't even remember writing them.
Well, you didn't write half of them.
It's true. I don't remember writing my third of these lyrics. Yeah. You should probably go through them very carefully and come up with the ratio.
Yeah.
That would be a good use of somebody's time.
Yeah, we just talked about spending a lot of time on E.T. I don't think anybody has any standing here to criticize somebody's
time. My God, these are terrible. Here comes a part where I wasn't overjoyed. Fire, she said, and before I could scream, I got a double eyeful of fresh red wedding. Oh, my God. See, this is why I don't own up to Abjure songs, because that's just wrong.
We're going to have show impact, notes for right? the show, Ryan, so I'll definitely include links to all of this stuff.
The 8-foot Groot and the Furious 7 shirts astounded. Yeah, no, these are good. I did a good job on this, but
yeah.
I mean, whoever wrote them did a good job on this. It wasn't me. It was that Abjure fella that everybody should blame these on.
Yeah, yeah. But anyhow, amazing. Made a big impact in a fight that I think, you know, was, you know, I still remember. I can still hum Lunkhead's submission for that one. And it was the first one that Jerkatorium submitted to in our current form. So yeah, I have very, very fond memories of that whole fight in general. All right. But anyhow, should we move on?
Yeah, let's jump right into it.
The title was Freak Flag. And just as a little precursor here, I was kind of expecting more sort of celebratory songs than a lot of what we got. It sort of doesn't matter, and it's sort of unjustified that I would have that kind of expectation, but that is going to kind of color my reviews coming up, just to warn everybody ahead of time.
Yeah, but should we start? You should never, don't expect things on Songfight.
Yeah.
MC Frontalot, by the way, has a great quote about expecting things on Songfight. He says, when you expect to win, you just wind up mad at Octothorpe. Because they had entered, and I think Damien, like Dubose Triangle had entered or something, or it might have been the other one, the Children's Choir, whatever it's called.
Milwaukee
Youth Center, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee Children's Choir. Milwaukee Youth Center had entered, and but it was Octothorpe's first week that they had ever entered, so they had a friend flood, and they won. And I think that Damien had expected to win that week and just wound up mad at Octothorpe. So don't expect things on Songfight. That's just a recipe for being disappointed.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a side, but somebody in their, what do you call it, in their signature after their for their posts on the Songfight bulletin board has the quote, I only like good music.
And Octothorpe.
Yeah. I love that. All right.
When I heard Freak Flag, I just thought immediately of the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song, right?
I'm not even familiar with that.
It's a song called Almost Cut My Hair. It goes, almost cut my hair, happened just the other day. It's getting kind of long, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't, and I wonder why I feel like letting my freak flag fly. That's what I took away from it. Which is sort of a celebration of being a freak. Which definitely was.
I associate the freak flag kind of a whole idea as a sort of a celebration of, you know, letting it all out, being yourself, no matter what. And when I think about Freak Flag, I think about there's a They Might Be Giants song.
So how can I sing like a girl?
Yes, thank you. and that's one of the first things that popped in my mind. Also,
me too.
Yeah. Also, RuPaul's Drag Race, the winner, which, you know, was announced right around the time of this title being announced, mentioned, you know, that you got to let your freak flag fly. And I was wondering if that was a coincidence or not. But anyhow, yeah. So it always kind of seemed like a celebratory thing for me anyway.
That's how I took it. That was my approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. More than one competitor came up with the sort of idea that, you know, there's a lot of people who want to be freaks and, you know, they're just conforming in their non-conformism.
Hey, don't steal my notes before we get to those songs. All right.
Okay.